Heather McDonald has got the juiciest scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald, Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. Well, interestingly enough, I am the top story of today, in my opinion. TMZ is writing about it, and Page Six is, and the story is Chrissy Teigen appears to tell Heather McDonald to fuck off. Basically, what happened was yesterday, which was Tuesday around 11 a.m., Chrissy posted this very nice photo of herself in a trench coat with full hair and makeup, but she's looking down. Her mouth is slightly open, but she looks gorgeous. But what she writes is, I really think you guys are too conditioned to seeing perfect photos all day, because so many of my comments on any given photo are, why would she post this? Or, I love you, girl, but this is not flattering. To which I say, who cares? A lot of the time, makeup artists and hairstylists will ask if photos are good enough to post. And my reply is always the same. I honestly don't care. Post whatever. I don't know. I just don't care about curating my Instagram to be perfection. In a mess, I'm chaotic, and this shall always reflect that. Thank you, love, Sagittarius. Those crazy Sagittarius. I came across it, and the point is to comment on Instagram, right? So I felt the need to comment, and what I commented was, these humble brags of, quote, this is an unfiltered picture, so say whatever mean thing you want, so people will actually write nice things since I still actually look great, end of quote, is so 3 years ago, Chrissy. You know what was curated? Your Twitter. So, you know, just whatever, just a comment. Kind of wanted to point out to the world that, like, this is annoying. How do people in the Instagram being out for 10 years not see the obvious humble brag? I remember when Rachel Hollis did this with a bikini photo, and I pointed it out, and it seemed like nobody got it. And I thought, by now, people should probably get this by now. They probably understand what's happening. Oh, TMZ is parking right now. So get ready for that story, because they're going to talk to me. Because after this, so then that night, around 7 o'clock, I was made aware that she, in fact, reposted my story, because I had put my comment in stories. And said, really, this is what being a feminist is. A dig at me, like I'm being mean. I'm not being mean, I'm just... Then she posted on her grid and on her stories that in fact, this is around 7, 8, or 9 at night, that in fact, unfortunately, today is the day that she lost her unborn son. It was the one-year anniversary. And then she posts on her stories, I was up all night, the night before, crying. John can attest to it. And it's the anniversary of my son's death. So if I'm a little insensitive, fuck off. Then she then removed her reposting of my comment. And so, my God, how sad, right? How sad. Really sad. I'm a mom. Of course, I have sympathy for that. Of course, at 11 a.m. when you posted the flattering photo of you claiming it wasn't flattering at 11 a.m., I was not aware it was the year anniversary of your unborn son's death, okay? So then TMZ picks this up, in which they post an extremely unflattering photo of me, in which they got only me like mid-talking in front of Craig's, like just so ugly. And they write, the title of it was Chrissy Teigen, Fuck Off Heather McDonald on the one-year anniversary of her son's death. That is the title of the TMZ story. So read that, and it's like, wow, God, Heather McDonald, a mother of three, just went after Chrissy Teigen on the day of her son's, you know, anniversary of her son's death. No. So that's why it's important for me to explain the timeline. But so here you go. So then I reposted that, because I was going to double down. I was like, okay, enough. You're not going to make this something that it's not. Okay, this is a person. Chrissy Teigen has 33 million followers. She's doing just fine in life. She was actually a year or two ago was a judge on a show called What the Funny with two other headlining male comedians. So she was the female that that network chose. So she loves comedy. She sees herself as a comedian. And I said, hey, maybe today you'll squeeze the outside of your thigh to show the one dimple of cellulite you have to say to the world, look at me, still just a regular mom slash supermodel that loves to eat. Can you believe it? Because even though I'm a supermodel, I don't care. I can't get enough of French fries, in which she's doing a show about French fries coming up, because how funny is it that a supermodel actually still eats fries. That's how real she is. So I'm just pointing out the fact that maybe some days she is authentic on her social media. On Tuesday, yesterday, I did not believe that she was, and I was calling it out. So there you go. More important news about Gabby Petito's alleged killer, who we think is the killer. As you know, Dog the Bounty Hunter is on this case. I'm completely down for it. This just came out minutes, like 20 minutes ago. Dog the Bounty Hunter says he's closing in on Brian Laundrie, the fiance, that he feels that he knows exactly where the place is, that he's at. So we're just hanging tight. We really hope that they find him, they arrest him, and that we finally get some answers of what happened to Gabby, exactly what drove him to do this. If there is any, if there's any involvement with the two other women that were killed, you know, in the same vicinity, that lovely married couple that were shot to death, what that was about. I have since heard one of the things I said in earlier episodes is that I had not seen if they were people traveling with a gun or if they had any history with gun. I've now seen reports that, yes, in fact, that he was familiar with guns at one point in his life. So I'm not saying has anything to do with those murders, but I hope that we just get some answers and also get some answers on who killed those two women if it was not him. R. Kelly, who's 54, he is facing 100 years of prison after being found guilty of all 9 counts of sex trafficking and racketeering. He, as you know, he recruited sexually abused women, girls, and boys. That part I didn't really know about the boys. Over 3 decades, Surviving R. Kelly was an incredible docuseries. I covered it extensively on Juicy Scoop. Absolutely horrible. Most of the girls were under 18, so like by many years, and a couple were not. He was abusive to all of them to the point where they had to like couldn't leave the room to pee, had to like pee in a bucket, ask for food, really just very cult-like situation. He had several girlfriends. He called them girlfriends, but they were obviously being sex trafficked and kidnapped for years. He went after vulnerable girls. He went after girls that were very talented, whose parents were not savvy in the industry and thought that they, by him showing an interest in them, they just thought it was a guy in his 40s who is an incredible artist having an interest in their 15-year-old, like, singing protege daughter. And then they never thought the fact that she was going to a studio to come up with songs that they needed to be there. And then they'd lose complete contact with her. I mean, there was – just go back and watch it if you have not. It is an amazing documentary. Do you have something to say? There was more scoop? Okay. Anyway, I don't know why he will not be sentenced until May 2022. He is currently behind bars, so that is good. But I just kind of wonder, and maybe the lawyers, Juicy Scoop lawyers that are listening to this could tell me, why May 22nd do we have to wait for his actual sentencing? But he still denies all charges, so I don't know if there'll be some type of appeal. His defense was basically saying that, yes, these were consensual relationships, and yes, they were like May, December, meaning like he was older, he was younger. But obviously we know that's not true. I mean, to me, it's obvious. Also, his witnesses were awful. He had all these male, like, people that were his employees that were supposed to, like, you know, back him up that none of this crazy stuff happened. They were awful witnesses. So he just really... I just wonder, like, will his songs still play? Because now we really know. I mean, even with Michael Jackson, he was never convicted. And then after Neverland, that docuseries, we were kind of like, well, so I still hear Michael Jackson songs play all the time. But are people going to be like singing I Believe I Can Fly, which is like an inspirational song? Is that going to be on radios anymore? Is that going to be at graduations? I hope not. Okay. Cynthia Bailey, I touched on this a little on Tuesday. She has exited Real Housewives of Atlanta. It's my opinion, being, you know, a professor of Housewives, I definitely don't think they asked her back from what I've read. Andy had mentioned in interviews, oh, we're toying around with who should be on the next season of Atlanta. She by Sheree with her joggers and her Sheree Chalet and everything. Chateau Sheree. Sorry, I was getting Jen Shaw's chalet mixed up with She by Sheree's. Anyway. She's coming back, and there's also talk of Portia not coming back, but I don't know if that's true. Portia is, you know, marrying her former co-star's ex-husband. She just presented him with a male engagement ring from Tiffany's. That was a big Insta story I saw on her page. Cynthia Bailey's like, I'm looking forward to the next chapter. No offense, but it's hard. The next chapter is going to be a smaller chapter. It's going to be a smaller chapter than when you were on TV. But again, hopefully you're happily married to, I said third husband, and someone's like, Heather, you're wrong. She was only married twice. So maybe she wasn't married to her daughter Noella's father. I'm not sure. Who, by the way, is Black Jesus in Madonna's Like a Prayer music video. Never knew that. What a coup. They seem to get along. I don't know. Maybe they were never married. Then she was married to the Peter guy. Yes. Okay, then she's married to Peter Guy, and then she's married to this guy who's like a sports reporter. So I look forward to listening to Cynthia Bailey's and her sports reporter's podcast, which I'm sure will be the next chapter that they will be doing, which, go for it, girl. She's really beautiful. She's really likable. She does have a lot of style. She does have a lot of fashion. I say she goes into fashion. I say she sells stuff on QVC. This is my advice, because I don't think she would be a great podcaster, actually. I don't think she has that dynamic of a personality, but I think she's dropped it gorgeous. And I think she, if she dresses like for her age and her size and leans into that, I think that she could have like a beautiful line of clothing that women will flock to and buy and make it affordable and put it on QVC or directly sales. Like, she will put Lisa Rinna and her dusters to shame. So that's my advice, Cynthia. Move on. Because I don't think she's the type that they will bring back a couple years later. She's just not crazy enough. She doesn't throw things. She doesn't get violent. But I still want to see those cheekbones. So I'll see those cheekbones on QVC. I can't wait to look at your caftan. Okay. Also, Housewives news. Okay. Let me just tell you this crazy story. So Camille Grammer, former Real Housewives Beverly Hills, commented or tweeted something somewhere that when she was at Andy Cohen's baby shower in January of 2019, a West Coast housewife told her that, in fact, and was telling other people that, in fact, Erica Jane was having, and her husband, Tom Girardi, were in some type of money trouble issues. That was the first that Camille said she heard of it. People are trying to figure out who is the West Coast housewife that's actually good friends with Erica. A lot of people pointed their finger at Kyle. Then Lisa Vanderpump did in fact say yes. Now this is all allegedly a million different blogs, a million different, you know, conversations, tweets, whatever. This is a story I'm pulling together from 29 different sources. Lisa Vanderpump says, yes, it was Kyle who let me know about that. Then Kyle gets pissed on social media, and somebody posts, really, from Lisa Vanderpump, whose past two shows had very low viewership, in which they're referring to her show about Vanderpump Dogs, which was a reality show on Peacock, and also her dinner party show on the E! Network. And so they did a dig there, and Dorit responded with, like, you know, the crying, laughing faces. So that's their kind of, that's their way of putting a stamp on, like, we agree with what the mean thing you're saying about Lisa Vanderpump. So who knows what on at Andy's baby shower? All I remember is that Lisa Rinna was standing on a table in a rose-colored satin jumpsuit, screaming at 4 in the afternoon after a lot of cocktails, saying, "Get up, you fucking whores! Get up and dance on the table for fucking Andy and his baby. He gave you your life, you motherfuckers. Get up here." So that's all I remember it from. But somewhere between that and people giving him 12 different Hermes baby blankets, somebody said something about Erika Jayne not being as rich as she thought. I was on Nightly News. I'm on Nightly Pop. And the juicy story there is I got fired. Yes, Nightly Pop on E! Finally called me after 8 years. Had never been on it since Chelsea Lately. Was like, wow, great. I'd like to come on Nightly Pop. Sure, I'd like to get cute. Took my COVID test, the whole thing. I was going to do it Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. After Monday's appearance, they said, no, we don't want you anymore. And it was awkward because I left all my makeup there and my suitcase and all my clothes since I was going to be there for 3 days in a row at 7 a.m. getting my hair and makeup done. So you're probably wondering, Heather, why did they fire you? Well, guess what? I'm going to tell you that story on Patreon Friday because it's pretty freaking juicy. And, you know, but it all goes together with these hot topics I'm doing and everything. Oh, my God. My last question is, do you think that Clintons are friends with John Legend and Chrissy Teigen? Because I'm watching the impeachment and I'm feeling like I had a couple friends call me and be like, I see what's going on with Chrissy Teigen. Do you need security? And I'm like, oh, my God, are they this versions of the Clintons? Like, am I suddenly just going to go missing? And if I do, can you please do a documentary about it or at least one Dateline? And I am requesting Keith Morrison. And can you please pick out more flattering photos than what TMZ did? Okay, you guys, I will see you this weekend. I am at Irvine. There probably are still a few tickets left for the late shows Friday and Saturday, and maybe a handful of tickets for the live Juicy Scoop with Spencer Pratt, who's bringing some crystals. You're going to get a little giveaway if you're lucky. Lala Kent's bringing her signed books and her big rock diamond. Randall's coming. It's going to be so fun. And Justin Martindale's going to be there to go over the hot topics with me. This is going to be a really juicy live Juicy Scoop, which it will only be either, well, I don't know if I'll ever release it. But for the people that are there, they're going to rock. So if you have a free Sunday night and there's a few tickets left, go get it. Irvine this weekend, but all of my shows that are left this year are available at heathermcdonald.net. And now for my special guest, Alisa Giordana. I'm excited to hear my guest, who is here in studio, Alisa Giordana, her juicy story of how she ended up falling in love and engaged to the infamous Andy Dick, which thank God you're not anymore. But I want to hear all about it. I'm curious. You're gorgeous.
Thank you.
And tell me about your life. I know that you also worked on the Howard Stern shows, too. So we want to get into all the juice that you have to give us here. So what was your background in entertainment?
So I started off in a band as a musician.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I played guitar.
What's guitar?
So a guitar is a combination between like a piano and a guitar. Have you ever seen that? It's an 80s type thing.
No. But okay.
So when they asked me to be in this band, I did not want to be in the background playing keyboard. So I figured, okay, how can I be in the front, but I'm not the lead singer? So I went to Sam Ash in New York City, and I looked around for an instrument that would put me in front, and that was the guitar. Oh. And that's something that you could dance. You could be wireless. You hardly have to play anything. You're basically just modeling on stage. And that's what I did in this band, Cobra Starship.
Wait, is this like what the girls did in that video?
Yes, Robert Palmer.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah. All right, okay.
So that was my first
entertainment
job.
And that was in
job.
New York City.
So that was everywhere. We toured. Okay. We opened for 30 Seconds to Mars, Panic at the Disco, Fall Out Boy, just all the big bands at the time. And yeah. I got to tour all around the world in a tour bus, and I was the only girl.
Okay.
So that was very difficult. And but it was fun. It was really fun.
Did you sleep with anybody in the band?
I did. Yeah, that's like the main point.
Were you the Stevie Nicks?
More like the Nicki Minaj.
Because Stevie Nicks have a dated like
the bass player or something.
She dated like two or three of the guys.
No, I mean I was in love with the lead singer.
Okay,
in love. Very terrible. And that's how I even got in the band. I was at Bungalow 8 in New York City.
Yeah,
when that was the hottest place to go, and I saw this guy across the bar, and I had so much guts back then. I wish I had that kind of guts now, where I would just march up to somebody and I say, I want to know you. You should know me. That's what I said to him.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, we were performing on Jimmy Kimmel, and we had a record deal, and I was touring all around the world.
So in 2 weeks, you went and got that little keyboard thing, and you were able to do it, or were you just faking this?
No, I mean, I played classical piano ever since I was four.
Oh, okay.
So it was an easy transition to go from classical piano to something that you barely had to play one note on.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was just extremely fun.
Within meeting him,
yes,
he was like, go find something to play and you can be in my band.
It was between me and the bottle hostess at Marquee.
That he was also going to throw in the band?
Yeah.
So was he was on the hunt for a pretty girl to be in the band.
He was.
Okay, got it. Okay, so you fall in love, go on Jimmy Kimmel Live, travel, and while you're on the road, is it just you and he as a couple?
No, it wasn't at all. He really was not interested in me. This is something I have going on in my life.
You're in love with him, but you weren't even sleeping together, or you were sleeping together?
Not at the time. I tried. I tried everything for this guy to be in love with me. I thought he was.
Okay.
When we were on the plane riding from New York to L.A. for the Jimmy Kimmel show, I thought, how could this guy not like me? How could he not like me? I'm playing guitar for him. I'm making his band look really good right now. And I'm like, awesome. He's saying I'm the next Mozart. I mean, he's really buttering me up, this guy. And I'll never forget, he gave me, it wasn't a Xanax. It was Percocet. This was the best plane ride of my entire life. I'm on the way to play Jimmy Kimmel Live, and I have a Percocet with the hottest guy in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm drinking wine, and I'm really afraid of flying.
Okay.
And that flight, I was not afraid of flying. I was so excited, and it was just amazing. And it was just like pretty much one of the best.
So what year is this?
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Maybe like 2004.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we go, to play that show. It was amazing. I was so excited. You know, there were red carpets, and I got to tour with Jared Leto and all these famous people that I'd heard of before. And it's something I really manifested because, I'll tell you, there wasn't much work that went into it because years and years, I would try out for record labels and producers, just getting nowhere. And then I go to Bungalow 8 one night, and 2 weeks later, people are recognizing me. So it's just weird sometimes how things happen like that.
Yeah.
You put so much effort and just get absolutely nowhere. And then just randomly, one day, something happens. And that's what was so great about it. It made me believe in The law of attraction, the secret. So,
did you ever do a vision board?
Oh yes.
You like actually went to Michael's and got a board and cut out stuff.
Absolutely.
Stars
I believe
and sparkles.
In it. Everything in my life.
I do that too, but I've never actually made a board. Except I made one as a joke as Ramona Singer. I made one right when COVID started. I acted like I found her vision board, and it was that city was too crowded, and she'd brought on COVID.
Wait, Ramona Singer started COVID?
That was like, I just did like a little bit about it because, like, I just remember seeing her say
She doesn't seem
COVID.
Like she'd wear a mask, actually.
Yeah, like, I just remember right before COVID, she's like, you know what? It's like, it's really loud in the city. And I just want to be silent. And then there were like photos of like the city just empty, like in Soho. And so then as Ramona, I go, oh my God, okay, I feel really badly because I did this vision board the other day. And then it was just like empty.
Ramona Singer is the friendliest person. Let me just say, I went to a nightclub in New York City. I met Ramona Singer. She was hugging me and pretty much making out with me immediately.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if this happened to you, but she was
so
friendly.
You told her that you were a fan.
Oh, I was sitting right next to her. I was at a fashion show.
Yeah.
She's sitting right next to me. I don't even think I said that. She was there with, what's her name? Aviva.
Yeah.
Aviva Drescher. And they were both so unbelievably nice. They were holding onto my arm. I spent the whole night hanging out with them. I like her. I'm a big fan
of her. Oh, me too.
Ramona. I think she's the nicest of the housewives.
Well, you're one of the few people that have said that. Because apparently there's a lot of stories out there where she hasn't been that nice out in the wild. But you know what? That's what I hate because I'm like, God, can anyone just like be a normal person? Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to matter do a TikTok about me because I didn't look at you in the eye in an elevator 12 years ago. Like,
yeah.
You know, so anyway, so let's get back to your story.
Okay.
So you're traveling the world and you like this guy.
Yeah.
He's not into you, but now you're on the road with him. Now are you boning?
Yeah, eventually. Okay. But it didn't last long. And then I had to watch him bone other people.
Yeah.
Almost every day. I'm living on the same bus. So imagine this guy that you're totally in love with. You think, you know, he gave you everything you ever wanted in your life. You're in a famous band.
How much are you making as the key guitar girl?
They gave me cash every day. I mean, I could have made so much money, but I signed this stupid paper that I didn't even read that said, I mean, I'll get to that, but I signed something extremely stupid.
Well, what is it? Just get to it now.
Well, the thing was when I left the band, they wouldn't give me back my keytar that I really loved.
How much was it?
It was like $1,000, okay? And they didn't want to give it back to me, and they were replacing me with someone else that looked exactly like me, like my twin, okay?
Okay.
So they were auditioning girls on this bus where I was living, and I was like,
now, why did they want to get rid of you? You sound like such a fun delight on the bus.
I was not a delight because I was sleeping with that guy, and then I watched everybody else sleep with him, and that's when I became not a delight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you become all of a sudden the
so
opposite.
So you're on the tour bus, and then you're like – in the little sleep thing,
yeah,
and you're hearing them, and
I hear everything. I hear everything.
And they're bony, and then you like have to put in your earplugs.
Yeah, and it's just like groupies, and I'm thinking,
and
I'm in this
keytar,
band.
Does the keytar have to be in that tiny bunk with you, or
that's a good question. Keytar is underground. So there is almost like a trunk that's underneath where the keytar is.
So you had a little more room.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it wasn't great. The bathroom situation is the worst on a tour bus. Have you ever had a tour bus?
I've never done the tour bus thing. I mean, and I don't really want to.
Do not ever do it. The bathroom situation
is
literally
the
worst.
I'm a stand-up, so I just do myself, and that's it. So if I had the bus alone, and then maybe it would be okay.
Yeah.
I still think I would like to sleep in a hotel, though.
Absolutely.
But what's nice is if you were going to do a real tour, like you drive while you're driving. Instead of going to airports, you would drive and then sleep. And you can kind of rest on the bus and then go do your show and like spend the night at a hotel, then get on the bus again.
That is good. But my tour manager put us in the worst hotels possible. And they put me in the room with five guys. So can you imagine? I didn't want to go to the bathroom in front of anybody. Like, even a girl, I wouldn't want
that. Did
you
have to get a colonic after this tour?
I should have. I didn't even know about colonics back then, but
oh, my God. I just got one. It's life-changing.
How so?
I cannot believe I've missed out on this until now.
What's the difference in your life now?
It just was, like, an unbelievable, exciting experience.
Exciting?
Yeah.
They stuck a tube up?
And then you just watch it go by like the best movie you've ever seen in your life. Huh. I don't think I would enjoy watching someone else.
Oh, really?
Though I did want my sister to come out from Palm Desert, and I said, can I sit in the room with you? I think she'd be the only one.
But what inspired you to get that?
You see it going to two. I just have always wondered about it.
Yeah.
I wondered about, because speaking of Howard Stern, I remember hearing years ago a girl talking about a colonic on Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And that she had swallowed a Barbie shoe when she was four, and she saw it come out in the colonic.
At what age did she see
like
that?
Like 30.
The shoe was there for 30 years?
Yes. Yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
And ever since then, I said, one day I'm going to be rich enough to get a colonic.
How much was it?
$100.
It took this long. Did a shoe come out?
No. No, but I just couldn't believe, like, how many times, like, it must be done, right? And then I'm just like, but then all my friends were like, how flat was your stomach? And I'm like, not really. But it was just like a great time. And now all my friends want to go, but she's already so backed up, no pun intended, but she has so many, like, I don't want to give it out. I don't want to give her name out to anybody else because I'll never get back in.
Did you include Peter in this?
I asked, I said to her, I go, I mean, I think my husband would get a lot out of it. You'd get a lot out of him. And she goes, you know, that doesn't really work when, like, partners push their other partner to do it. It's really, like, you're either into it or you're not. Okay. Anyway, I can't imagine like not being able to shit because I'm in love with the band, the head of the band. Anyway.
Yeah.
So this thing ends. Let's get to the – so they kick you out.
Yeah. So they were auditioning other girls while I was there watching. So not only was I watching him have sex with people, but then I was watching them replacing me.
And were they as good on the keytar as
you?
No.
No. Come on. No way.
But they didn't care?
They just didn't. I don't know. They were just, I mean, it was just.
So how did they tell you this is your last time on the keytar?
So they didn't tell me. So the tour was over, but I could feel so much hostility the whole time. And I was really confused. I'd be crying. I mean, we would perform a stadium opening for Fall Out Boy or Panic at the Disco or some huge band, and it should be the happiest time of my life. And I'm laying in the bathroom crying, and you know somebody would come up to me and say, "Oh, aren't you Lisa from Cobra Starship?" I'm like, "Yeah, I am, but I'm miserable. I want to kill myself." I was so miserable at the top of my life. I was really miserable. I was sad.
Do you ever think about how it wasn't really fun for the other band members to be like, "We were performing. It should have been the time of our life." And the keytar girl says that she's suicidal. She's crying in a bathroom. She can't shit.
Can we replace her?
You don't think that maybe they, when they come on Juicy Scoop next week, you don't think they're going to have a story about you?
Well, I actually met and interviewed the woman that replaced me.
Okay.
And she had a similar story to me.
She couldn't shit?
Nobody could.
Okay.
And Matt, I mean, you're on a bus that you're not allowed to flush the toilet on a bus. Did you know that?
Oh, well.
So people are going in a bag. In
that
a plastic
is so
bag.
I'm scared of bathrooms on boats and private planes and now buses.
Anywhere but your home is terrible.
And like, so that's scary.
Yeah,
I once was terrified. We were told not to shit on the private plane when I was on tour with Chelsea.
Oh.
And sometimes you just like forget, you know, you're just peeing and all of a sudden like a little Hershey kiss comes out. And you're like, oh, fuck, you know. And I was like, this is it, you know.
This is the end of my reign here?
Yeah, like I'm never going to be able to open again. Like I was just fucking terrified. And so everyone was asleep on the plane. Mm. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I got some tissue.
Oh, no.
And I grabbed the little poo.
And put it?
I wrapped it, and put it in the trash. It was very little. It literally was a Hershey kiss. And I put it there. And I was just like, oh, thank God. Like, I was just so scared that, like, that would be, like, the cold open. I'd never hear the end of it. Like, Heather shit on the plane when it's, like, you're just so grateful to be, you know, on a private plane.
Yeah, exactly. Did you have a close relationship with Chelsea at the time where she would have been okay with it?
We were close, but I knew she wouldn't be okay with it. At the time, we were good, but not when you shit on a private plane and you're the one person out of all the openers that fucking let a little one slip.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, speaking of Howard Stern. I was going to ask you, when you worked on Howard Stern, were you there the infamous day that they talked about me?
About Chelsea and you?
Yes.
Yeah, I was always interested in that, actually. I was so curious about it.
In a nutshell, I basically did a story like this where I thought, and I was scared of being fired, you know, like stuff like that. Like, like anyone would be on any Hollywood job. And they gave it to TMZ 5 days before the podcast was even available, and they made a big headline. Heather McDonald scared of Chelsea Handler, afraid for her life every day.
Yeah. Were you afraid like that?
I wasn't afraid for my life.
But for your job.
Yeah, because I'm kind of a fear-based person. So
same here.
So I'm, you know, was afraid of my dad. I was afraid of the teachers. Like, I'm afraid of my husband. Like, you know.
He's so nice.
On occasion, he kind of freaks me out. And to the point where finally, just about 2 years ago or 3 years ago, my son, who was 13 at the time, goes, "God, Mom, are you still afraid of Chelsea Handler?"
And I was like, you're ever going?
No, now I'm not. But for a long time, just because, you know, it was such a great job. And, you know, I mean, I worked for Keenan Ivory Wayans and he would let people go all the time. Like, because you're, you know, creatively, whatever. So it's not a guaranteed type of job.
Right.
So.
But when you're in a job like that, it feels like the only thing in the world, doesn't it?
Totally. Just like when I was like doing the Groundlings for a 100 person audience, I was like, it was my whole world. So it's like, you don't really think like what. So anyway, so then she gets a hold of the article still. The podcast was not available to even listen to. And it's just a snippet from an hour thing. And in it, I say very nice things about her. And like,
they didn't include that, though, probably, in the article.
No, no. And so then she gets it, and it makes the headlines. And she goes on to Howard Stern that day, and Howard Stern goes, "Let's talk about this writer girl, Heather McDonald. Right. What the hell happened?" And she's kind of, you know, being like, she's pissed.
Yeah.
And so it was really bad. So
Were you able to talk to her off, you know,
I didn't know, like, now, you know, if something like this happened, I would immediately, like, do an Instagram story.
Or call?
Well, I was kind of scared to call.
It's scary to call these people. Even if you're really close with them and work with them. I'm still scared of Howard Stern right now.
Yeah, I was kind of scared. So I kind of, but I mean, but at the time, I was like, okay, I'll say it at the top of my podcast, which was a couple days later. But it had already been out now for 5 days. Then that day when I listened to it, that morning I finally listened to the podcast. Mm-hmm. There's Theo Vaughn's show at the time. I go, whew, okay, that wasn't bad at all. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to hear this, which, of course, nobody bothers to listen to the whole thing. You know, they read the article. That's it. The comments are going. Yeah. It's the first time I ever got hate. And it was
In your whole career?
It was like you ungrateful, like bucktooth, ugly thing. Like no one would even know who you were if it wasn't for her. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You know, like, I mean, I'd been on stuff before, but I was not a name until I was on the show for 7 years. And so I just kind of was like, oh, shit. You know, so then I wrote out this thing and I explain it. And anybody that listened to my explanation of it, and certainly anyone who listened to the podcast was like, oh, this is. But she went on Howard Stern and said, I stopped being close to Heather towards the end of the show because I found out she was selling stories about me to Us Weekly. And I was like, this isn't true. And
why would she say that?
I think someone might have told her, or she just put it in her head. I don't know, but it obviously wasn't true.
So maybe she's confusing it with someone asked you a question, or they took something from your podcast. It ended up in the news, and she thinks that you sold it.
No, yeah.
That happened.
No, I think, honestly, what it was is that we did this show called After Lately, mm-hmm. and it was like a Curb Your Enthusiasm about us working on Chelsea, mm-hmm. and everyone was like an exaggerated caricature of themselves. Mm-hmm. So because I was friendly with the Kardashians and stuff, like, and I liked going out, and I liked Housewives, I was this person who was like super starstruck, which is not at all the truth. You know,
she thought that about you?
No, that was my character.
Oh, that was your character.
That
okay,
I
was, got
even
it.
Even though
it
was myself. So it was like, so in it, there was a scene where I was like, oh my God, Jennifer Aniston's on the show. You know, I want to ask her about the tree in her backyard and Architectural Digest. Like I had like studied her and all this stuff. And I kind of think almost like in her head and like not having a great memory or whatever, somehow she thought like, because there was a story where I planted a story in the scripted show After Lately. There was a thing where I planted a story about myself in Us Weekly.
That was a bit.
That was a bit.
All right.
And I'm like, there's no way. Like, I was like, I make a good salary. What are they going to get? First of all, they don't pay for stories.
I didn't even think they did.
And if they did, it's like, $100, $50, I don't know.
It's not worth it to do that.
And what story would I tell when she's told everything about her life every night? Like, there was no secret to tell.
The thing is, if you're friends with a famous person or you're working with a famous person, they're very defensive all the time. They're very worried about everyone, and they're just on edge.
Yes, and what happens even with, like, Kardashians and stuff, even when you, like, you think, you know, like, I went to Kim's wedding, and when they broke up after 73 days, I got a call. I think it might have been Us Weekly. What do you think? Is it, you know, was it ever real, whatever? And I'm like, I think she's a woman in her early 30s who wants to have kids, and she realized after 73 days, this is not who she wants to have kids with, so why not get out after 73 days, then stay for 2 years? Like, that's all. Like, you know, and I thought, okay, that's a positive thing I said about her, you know, but then I heard through other people, like, they don't like it. They see it as you're using them to get a story about yourself. And I'm like,
it is fun though, partly, but it's not like you're doing something against that. I thought
someone asked me and I thought I'm saying something positive.
Yeah.
So I thought like, but
they could write anything in any way, even if you're saying the most positive thing about them, they could twist it in a way because their whole job is to get the most clicks possible.
Right.
So you saying something positive about Kim Kardashian or whatever, that's not really going to sell anything.
And then it's like, you know, Kim's friend Heather McDonald, blah blah blah, and then she gets the Google alert, and she's like, "What the fuck's this hoe walking around talking about me? Yeah. Like, I didn't even watch you at the wedding."
That's it's being friends with famous people is like extremely annoying, in my opinion. It's, you just have to be so careful of all, like, don't post a picture. They got to look better in the picture, or don't post that picture.
Yeah,
or don't post a picture at all. I used to be friends with an A-list actress back in the MySpace days. I uploaded two pictures of her and lost the whole friendship.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 No, because it's
the whole friendship was gone.
Because she didn't like the photos or because she felt you were like piggybacking on her
fame? I have no idea, but you just have to be so careful. And it's so, and if the press calls you about somebody, and even if you say the nicest thing.
Did you ever go on tour with her? Maybe that was it.
No. No. Other people besides the tour people don't like me as well.
Okay, so anyway, do you remember that day? Were you working on it that day?
What? Which thing?
The only time Howard Stern ever said my name.
I do remember that. No, I do remember that. And I relate to it so much because it's so upsetting. I don't like that. It's a very horrible thing that I relate to you in so many ways on this because, I mean, Howard Stern was really pissed at me because I got into a fight with Jimmy Kimmel, and that's his like best buddy. And Jimmy Kimmel called in – or no, sorry. He was like a guest on the Howard Stern show, and he was talking about my podcast and how him and his wife, Molly, hate watch it. It's like a train wreck. Just talking shit about my podcast for like an hour. And I'm like, this guy Jimmy Kimmel, who is like the top of his game, is talking about this little tiny fish me who's just trying to make anything happen at this point.
Yeah.
Anything. And he's saying that, you know, zero talent, podcast train wreck. I treat my guests badly. It's like, why does this guy even care? In hindsight, I shouldn't have called in. Okay, I should have just shut up.
So then, what do you?
But I did call in.
You called in. So you're not working there that day, and you.
No.
So you call in. Of course, they love it.
They put me through right away.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't even on hold at all.
Yeah.
And I just.
But that's great radio, though. Too.
No,
everyone
it's what
must
they love.
Have loved it. Yeah.
It's
so
what
you
they
called
love.
In, and
I was pissed. I was really pissed. I said, "Why is this big fish making fun of this little fish? I'm trying everything. That they know my career by now. I've been on the air with them for 6 years. They know. They had me audition in front of Tommy Mottola, who said I was like a complete loser. They humiliated me on that show, which is what they love, which is the best radio. It's not good to make people look cool. It's good to make people look horrible.
Which is similar to, honestly, our vibe. On
right
Chelsea,
oh, okay.
It was like, you know, she would say to Joe Coy, you know, your teeth and you're gay. And Joe was like,
that's
I have
funny.
A son. I'm not gay. Like, you know, now that would be seen as like not cool to do.
Right.
But, like she thought it was funny. And like, and it was all about like, you know, Heather's, you know, such a thirsty whore and like this and that. I'm like, whore? Like I was virgin till I was 27. I don't know how I could be a fucking whore. But whatever. You
What's
know.
Wrong with being thirsty, by the way?
Yeah.
It's like so annoying.
And everybody like, is now.
Show me a person that's not thirsty.
And I'm
show
like, oh, you don't think holding up books on a naked body, Chelsea, in front of covering your tits and your Pikachu, as you'd say, you don't think that's like slightly thirsty? Like
she's completely nude all the time.
Yeah. But no, I'm the thirsty one, the mother of three. Who lives in the same house since 2005? Oh, I'm the fame climbing whore. You know,
I mean,
whatever.
If you show me one person that's not like that, I mean, I would be very surprised.
Especially today.
Today, because that's how you make money, right?
Yeah.
That's how you get anything going. I mean, if you look at it biblically, I mean, Jesus Christ, he had a lot of disciples. Don't we want that?
Yeah, no, exactly.
That's how I look at it. It's like to have the most power, to help the most people. I mean, I was really depressed and in a misery state most
but
of my life.
Get back to that. So did it really pose a problem that you called and spoke up for yourself?
Yes. Yes.
How? Tell me what happened.
So Howard used to talk about me positively pretty much almost every day on the on the air.
Uh-huh.
I was a writer, writing monologue jokes, creating bits with myself in it most of the time and just being like one of a very recurring guest.
I was saying that would be another hard thing too. Okay. So we got, if we were in a sketch, the writers, because all the writers are basically on the show too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're on the round table, they worked out some deal with SAG after where you're supposed to get $800, but somehow we got $400. So if you're on the round table, you get $400.
Per show?
If you're on the round on TV round table,
okay, like, which you were,
I no, I got a writer's salary, but on top of that, if I was on the show, I got the $400 to be on the show, or $382 or something. If you were in a bit like I'm Celine Dion in the cold open, that's like another extra $300 or whatever.
Okay.
So it was kind of nice when all of a sudden they'd be like, "We want you in something," you know. You're like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, it's like the best feeling.
Yeah, new shoes,
what's more fun
mama?
Than that?
Yeah, like and but. But then if you pitched yourself, they'd all be like, you thirsty whore, why are you pitching yourself? So then we would go to each other and like I'd be like, Chris, you know, can you pitch that you and I are this aging couple, whatever. And then I'd be like, I think Sarah should be the tan mom who does this or whatever.
Yeah.
And And then the person that thought of the bit that's featured would be like, who, me? Like, why can't we just be fucking honest? Like, yeah, exactly. It's like an extra $300. You hired people that were actors and comedians that are now writing. Of course we want to be featured. There's maybe one guy that came towards the end that was not an on-camera person. Like, but for the majority, and that's what made it fun. But, and I was always just like, okay, so we're supposed to act like we don't want to be on TV?
That's so weird.
It was just kind of like, you know... Anyway, so you did the bits and all that, and what happened?
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard part of it, to pretend that you don't want to be on the show.
Yeah.
When all you want to do is be on the show.
Right.
And that was a lot of my little act that I did. I'm like, oh, I'm just pitching this bit for, you know, the other guys, like, you know, Sal.
If we could just find a girl with dark hair and sparkling eyes that's about, I don't know, my age, and she's thin, like, that's who I see doing this.
Yeah, exactly. She played guitar at one point. If you could just find someone like that, I don't know how you're going to find someone. No, I mean, it was pretty obvious. Yeah. Everyone just saw the joy that I had coming
doing
in there.
Yeah,
I just had so much. I would come in there. It's just like the best day of your life every day.
Yeah.
That you get to go in there and be on the air because, I mean, just people reach out to you. They say, what you were talking about, I relate to that so much.
Did it pay well?
No, not at all. But I would work there for free pretty much right now.
Yeah.
That's how much I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Like, I mean, for me, it was
so
fine.
So what happened?
Okay. So, I was on there for years and then I got into a fight with Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
And then at that point, it was just, I could tell that it was not happening for me anymore. And, but that happens a lot with the Stern Show people. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't talk about ex-staff members there. I don't know.
Like John.
Stuttering John is not well right now. He's like, he is a mess because this is what happened. So I
know him well.
Me too.
And I know his ex-wife who just got married this past weekend, so that probably didn't help his mood.
No, it did not. So with him, I feel for him so much because I went through a similar scenario where I'm no longer really involved with Howard Stern.
Yeah.
But I look at it in a different way than he looks at it. I look at it as, wow, I pretty much came in with no experience at all. They put me with the top writers in the world. I mean, top comedy writers. I got to be on the radio. I got to connect with an audience. It was the most amazing time of my life, one of them. And I've had a lot of amazing times. So I look at it like that. I look at Howard Stern gave me this gift. He bought me a beautiful diamond necklace that said Dream on it.
Yeah.
And he wrote a letter on how funny I was. And I didn't even know I was funny at all until that letter.
Yeah.
So he changed my life. Howard Stern changed my life. John, on the other hand, thinks that Howard like owes him something, or that the Stern Show was nothing without him, when that's so clearly like not what it is. He should just appreciate that he was on there and just try to make something different happen.
Yeah.
Because it is hard to make – so very few people that leave that show do anything else, and I think actually nobody really has.
Yeah.
And it's because it's hard to not live in the past.
Yeah.
Because the past is so wonderful.
Right.
And it's so thrilling to talk to Howard – on the radio, I mean, I even interviewed him on his own show.
Yeah.
And it was such an experience where you're just so in the moment.
Yeah.
And there are a few things in life that are like that.
Yeah.
And so, John, I feel for him because I understand that pain because I went through the same pain, but it's just not good. The way he's talking about Howard, you know, he's just shit-talking him every day. He made a whole podcast about Howard, about how horrible he is, how bad he treats his current staff, how much the current staff is making. It's just, wow, like he is not over it. And that's a hard part of life.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've taken years of like Kabbalah classes to get over this and like just different religions.
Yeah.
And the most important thing in life, I think, is letting go.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you can't let in anything new.
Right.
And I don't want to be like a bitter person.
Right.
I really don't. And,
and
he, you know, he's a bitter guy, and I like him. I think he's funny, but it's hard to be happy when you're living in the past, no matter what, how great it was.
Right. Getting back to me. So were you there that day?
Yes, I was writing. So I was writing from home at that point. I was writing live.
Yeah.
So I did a couple different things. I wrote pre-written jokes. So say I knew you were on the show the next day. I'd like write a bunch of jokes about it, like maybe like Chelsea Handler's boob, something about that.
Yeah.
And then I'd have like, you know, 100 jokes prepared. If you write live, you're on the computer while you're on there thinking of things to send in, right? And so I do remember that time. I don't remember exactly everything about it, but I remember actually feeling very bad for that situation because that kind of situation is very haunting. And I felt it so many times. I felt it with the Vanderpump Rules people because I was – Lisa had – I had met with Lisa to be on that show.
Oh,
Vanderpump
okay.
Rules, yeah. She had tweeted – they were looking for somebody gregarious to join the Cirrus staff.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm gregarious. And then they, like, wrote back to me right away.
Yeah.
And so I flew here. I met with Lisa. It went great. She introduced me to all her Pump Rules people.
Yeah.
And they were all calling me, inviting me to events and everything. The Us Weekly called me and asked me a question. I said, like, pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like, hardly anything. I just said, oh, I'm having fun working there. And they called me screaming at, like, yelling at me. Like, production called me yelling at me, saying, you're not allowed to talk about being on the show. And I'm like, oh, I thought I was here to be on the show. And they were yelling at me about it, and they were furious. And I realized you really just can't talk to anybody, and you're in trouble no matter what. So
yeah,
I related to your situation. I mean, after right. that and before that and my whole life.
Yeah. So, you know what I always wonder?
What?
About this. Okay. One time, I think to this day, I think Chelsea and our producers played a joke on me because they'd play lots of pranks on me.
Really?
But I said something about Jennifer Aniston possibly being pregnant or something.
Okay.
You know, because it's like a million articles. Or I think, I know what it was. Again, I went to a pre-Oscar party. Mm-hmm. And this woman was talking to me. And she did not present herself as a reporter. And we're just talking. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And at the time, you know, Chelsea's getting a lot of press about being best friends with Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
And so she's like, do you think she's pregnant or whatever? And I go, no. I think she's a woman who's in her 40s. And she's like, you know, that was an angle. Maybe she just gained a few pounds, whatever. Yeah, yeah. So they make an article about that. Oh, Heather McDonald says that Jennifer Aniston gained a few pounds. And I'm like,
you just literally can't speak.
I don't bring it up or anything, right? And then I get this email from Chelsea.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Forwarded supposedly from Jen saying, I like Heather McDonald, but really saying that I gained a few pounds. Can you tell her not to talk to the press about me?
Yeah.
And I just remember like where I was in my office and it pops up and it's, you know, anytime I saw anything from Chelsea, 99% of the time it was good. You know,
oh, really?
Hey,
oh,
I
want to
do
good.
This show, want to, yeah. whatever. But, you know, you're like, your heart beats because it's your boss, right?
Scary. So,
and always it was always like getting caught, you know, like very much like high school. Like I'd go to high school and it's like, I heard what you said about me, you know. So I see this thing and I'm like, holy f-. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Please tell her I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't even realize this person. And then Tom, who was like, you know, our main guy that was, you know, he and Chelsea were, you know, did the show together, basically. He was behind the scenes. He's like, yeah, you can't be talking to press about, you know, I know like you like want to be a star and everything, but like you can't talk about that. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm just so sorry. Like I wasn't on the, this was not a red carpet interview. This is like this person that I didn't even know was like working for whatever,
so
Life and
small
Style.
Things. They,
and
they're so small.
Okay. I think they saw the article looking back. There's no fucking way Jennifer Aniston would ever care enough to write Chelsea about one of the dumb writers that she barely knows.
So do you think they didn't like you at that point?
Oh, they just like to fuck with me.
Like troll
all
you?
The time. No, like they just made fun of me. Like it was just made, they always like to trick me and make fun of me. And some of the tricks were funny and made for like a great story.
Yeah.
But that one I never knew the truth about. And to this day, I was like, I think that was a bullshit thing to like give me a stomachache, make me nervous, make me freak out that fucking I had to go to my free gifting suite, you dumb whore that makes $300 every time you're on TV. Yeah, I want some free lotion. Like, what the fuck? Like Heather has another gifting suite.
Was
you know,
that
like,
comfortable for you to be creative in that environment?
I mean, I can be creative in, like, any environment.
Really?
Yeah.
Like even like that?
Or maybe not prison, but, like, I think, and even that, I
prison
think,
you could be
if
fine.
I went to prison, I'd probably start
captive
to, I would imitate, like, the guards, and then all the gang members would, like, think I'm funny, because they'd be like, did you see her do, you know, Betsy over there, or whatever? Like, I don't know, but I just, you know, I always had to deliver, so I just did, but, like, no, but it's...
So you don't care who your audience is, or who you're working with?
Well, now what's so great is that, like, I work for myself.
It's
so
the best.
It's not being nervous about. But, like, what the amount of stuff that I would go through in my head of how I'm going to say I have to leave an hour early.
Oh, no.
Going on and on and on. And, like, and I remember I tested for something. And they said, we want you to test for this to be a talk show host. Eliza Schlesinger got it.
Oh.
A bitch. No, I'm kidding. She's a friend of mine. But I said the only time I could do it.
Yeah,
I know. That's what I'm saying. She got it. It didn't go anywhere. She said it was like the worst experience of her life. Yeah. She was like, oh, my God, you're so lucky you didn't get it. But it was like host of a gating. I don't know.
Yeah.
And but I said the only time I can do it is like 8 a.m. on like a Monday, you know. because I got to be at work by like 9:30, and thank God it was like on the same lot. Mm-hmm. So I just remember like pulling out my fake eyelashes, wiping my face down, you know, messing up my hair, changing my clothes so that I looked like the kind of like, oh, I just dropped the kids off at school. Not that I tested for like a show, but if I got the show, I would have been like, see you, motherfucker.
Yeah,
like,
you know,
like
you fine.
But I wasn't ever going to leave without something. But
yeah. So you're more happy doing something that you can control.
Oh, God, I remember I got caught for doing ghost stories.
What?
Do you ever remember that show, like Celebrity Ghost Stories?
Oh, yeah.
So it paid $6,000.
Really?
Yes.
What network was that on?
Like A&E or something.
$6,000?
To tell your ghost story. So my PR person goes, have you ever had an experience with a ghost?
You're like, sure, no problem.
And I'm like, what for? He's like, Celebrity Ghost Stories. I go, what does it pay? He's like, $6,000. I'm like, yeah, I was just raped by a ghost last night.
Gangbang.
So weird they said that. And so...
That was not true.
No, I did. I was at the London Hotel, and I felt like a ghost person was on top of me. Literally,
having
the day
sex
before.
With you.
Maybe just, how like, convenient, just like a by fingering. The way. I don't even think it was full penetration. I just remember feeling like the hairs of like an arm. I thought it was just a weird dream. But then when I got the call the next day, I thought that's God telling me it was actually a ghost. He knows I need $6,000 to pay for Catholic school. So I was just thought it was like all for the right reasons.
Did
like,
you even orgasm? Though,
no, but it was like a sexy weird dream.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool. So I somehow forgot that I like printed something out, like the directions or whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I booked it again on not a tape day. I'm like, I'm going to be here. I have a doctor's appointment with my kid or something. I'm going to be there. But even if I said that, if I go have a doctor's appointment, they're like, why can't Peter do it? Like, literally, I couldn't even use the mom card.
No.
I couldn't even use the mom card.
Too bad COVID was around back
so,
then.
So, I mean, literally, I was like, do I need to put the cotton ball? I had that going, too.
Yeah.
I would always put
really?
A cotton ball and a piece of tape.
All the time?
So then you could say you had your blood drawn.
But how often can you do that?
Oh, if you've got an issue. I didn't have that many opportunities. So I just was like, I have to have blood drawn. You know, and I had a little cotton ball, whatever.
Perfect.
So I come back from getting blood drawn, but I actually just told a story about how I got raped by a ghost.
But they're going to see that on TV.
Eventually,
yes. Oh, eventually. But by then,
But I could have said I did it on a Saturday. I did it on a week off.
Yeah.
So I wipe off the makeup, and I come in, and the piece of paper
Oh, no.
Is on my desk. I forgot that I left it in the printer. And they're like, we know what you did. We know that you did... Celebrity Ghost Stories.
But is there any part of them that's happy that you're doing other things to promote their show?
And
I'm not proud of you at all.
And they're like, look, this place is just so transparent. Like, you could, you know, now you've lied. So now you're, you know, a liar. Like,
oh, no.
And
how do you feel in that moment?
I just feel like I still would do it for $6,000.
Yeah. I mean, that's really high paying.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't just an audition. It was like guaranteed money.
Yeah.
And it's still one of the funny. I've never seen Peter laugh harder
than your ghost story with the.
Than
rape.
When he saw the ghost, because it was like he'd never seen me be serious in something. I had to be so serious about it, you know.
Oh, really?
So it's like, and then all of a sudden the room got really cold. Like I asked my friend, like, what's some other thing? They're like, you have to add more than just the rape. So I like said a lip liner was missing. The air conditioning kept going really cold because they said like a ghost like to change the thermostat.
Wow! Did you pick up new fans from that appearance?
No, the worst part is they had to do like a reenactment of a girl doing stand-up, and she was like, it's not cute.
Oh, no.
No,
that's
like totally
terrible.
Not cute and like kind of frumpy and short, and she's like,
no.
I'm like, that's what you get from a reenactment? Like everybody else is usually a cuter version of a reenactment, and for me it was like not as cute. And whoever you are that's listening that played me, I love you. You just didn't look like me. I'm sorry.
Did they at least cast a hot ghost?
No, because it had to be like, it did like a poltergeist thing where I get up, where the girl gets up in the bed as I'm telling the story. And then the thing went, like screamed at her.
Any ghosts since that time?
No.
No.
Never had another ghost
lucky,
experience.
Just that one lucky time.
I see a lot of, sometimes when I'm doing something exciting, I see two flies hanging out and I think it's my parents.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think that about ladybugs.
Yeah. But I mean, it's probably just two flies. Yeah, but I'm like, oh, you want to be on set today, mom and dad? Like, I just, you know. Like, they're like, oh, sorry, there's a fly here. I'm like, oh, it's my parents. And then they're like, oh, you just killed them. Like, they clap them. Oh my God.
I gotta watch that. Okay, I really wanna watch that ghost.
So anyway, so you felt badly for me. Okay, thanks. Yeah, yeah.
No, I did.
I was always like, when can I be on and speak? But for anybody
on
else,
what?
Like on Howard, but
you should be on there. You'd be great.
But I felt like what was bad about that is all the coasts that we're talking about, because it got on The View, it got on The Talk,
yeah,
and it
yeah.
got on Wendy Williams and Howard.
Was Wendy nice?
No, because I think, and Wendy's had me on the show now, she probably doesn't even remember that she talked about it years ago, but I think they're the host. So they're hearing a story about what they believe to be a disgruntled former employee that's
yeah.
talking shit about the host.
Well, would they ever go against the more famous person's side?
Never.
Never.
Also, when you're thinking about in their position, they're like, well, I know I've got all these other people that have worked for me that might feel like they're scared walking to work that they could get fired.
Yes.
So they were like, this is ridiculous, you know? And I just remember like The View or The Talk or whatever, one of those people was like, go get another job. Like, get another job, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay. So, like, everybody that just is a little scared of their boss is just supposed to quit.
It is
like,
not that easy.
You know, like,
my,
yeah.
I mean, my experience, maybe, I don't know.
But the point is, it was never really how I felt. And I felt really bad that it went that way. But
yeah.
I always wanted to just, you know, that was the main thing, is I've never sold stories. Okay, so yeah. so you're doing the show. And how did it turn out that they let you go then?
What, the Howard Stern show?
Yeah.
Oh, so they had hired someone to organize the office.
Okay.
A woman. And it seemed very, like it wasn't going in a good direction after that happened, because I was, like, no longer really dealing directly with people.
Oh.
I was going through another person. And I thought, this seems not good for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's pictures of me being interviewed by Howard TV. They had a TV station. And then there's, just still shots of her in the background, like, looking at me, like, just with such hate.
Uh-huh.
And I just think this woman hated me so much
yeah.
that she just wanted to get rid of me. Like, she could not stand me. I was just very – I was just so excited to be on that show.
Yeah.
I think I was on it too much. I think that was, like, my downfall. I just was on it too much. I was annoying people. I had so many trolls and people just saying that they were annoyed by my presence, like,
okay.
in general. And she just did not like me, and I just knew that it was coming to an end soon.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got into that fight with Jimmy Kimmel, and then just one day I was locked out of their system. So there's a system where you upload jokes and you upload bit ideas and interview questions and things like that. And one day I went to log in, and it just wouldn't let me in. And so nobody told me anything. Nobody said I was fired. I was just locked out of the system. And that was it. And so like you, another way I relate to you is how you're afraid to call Chelsea. There was no way in hell I was calling anyone.
Yeah.
There was just no way. Because I just can't handle it. I know
yeah.
that when they pick up, they're not going to be like, oh, we're promoting you.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
I knew, or, oh, we're going to give you the show now. But I knew it was going to
yeah.
be nothing like that. So I hate confrontation.
Yeah.
I hate fighting.
Yes.
I hate hearing that they don't want me anymore. I thought
yeah.
I was great on there, but, you know, there was multiple problems.
Yeah. So did what happened then? That was just your last check? I mean, was there even one letter of, like, thank you for your service or anything?
So they had – so a couple things happened after that were also strange and odd.
Yeah.
You know, this is probably where Stuttering John gets his – you know, there's just things that happen on there that you can't control.
Yeah.
So one day I was listening to the wrap-up show. I think you were
yeah.
on that, right?
No, I've never done the wrap-up.
Oh, wow. Oh, you should do that too. Okay,
yeah.
So I was listening to a wrap-up show. Lisa Lampanelli was on there calling me a dumb cunt.
Okay.
And I tried to call in, and they wouldn't let me through.
Oh.
And yeah, I'm an emotional basket case. So,
yeah.
So when Lisa Lampanelli, and also I thought it'd be good radio if I got on.
Yeah.
I didn't really care. Like, when people call me a cunt, I've been called that so many times. It really doesn't mean anything.
Right.
I'm much more hurt by specific
yeah.
insults than like cunt or bitch.
Like yeah.
cunt and bitch means nothing. So she's just calling me a stupid cunt. So I'm calling and calling and calling and calling in. And they're not letting me through. And they always let me through. They always let me on. And I was just freaking out. I had like a panic attack. I was just going nuts. And I just was so mad. I think I was just hurt that I'd spent so many years, you know, being humiliated on the show, working hard for the show, writing jokes, like thousands and thousands of hours, and just
yeah.
loving the show, loving them, like loving Howard, loving
yeah.
writing in his voice. Just feeling like this makes sense for me to do.
Yeah.
And I was just so sad that they wouldn't let me call in to defend myself.
Yeah.
So I wrote, like, Gary an angry email.
And you didn't run it by anybody before?
No. If I had run it by a squirrel, they would say not to do it. It was one of the most stupid things I've ever done.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've done a lot of things like that. I think at this point, I'd like to say I'd be different, but I don't even know because, I mean, I've been in the news a lot with Andy recently, and I'm still doing stupid shit. So
okay, so yeah. So you sent the letter.
I sent an email basically saying just all this stuff that was just ridiculous, saying, yeah, I'm the best writer. I'm the only female writer. I'm the only one that does this and that. And I'm the most booked guest, you know, just exaggerating, yes, left and right. And just, it just came from like a devil or like, you know, just somewhere else. I wasn't in my right mind when I said
that.
What
I think sometimes when this has happened, yeah, it's like, you know, and it happened with somebody else with that I'm friendly with that kind of had a freak out on a show and then it ended the show for them as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, it just came on the wrong day.
Yeah.
Like, had that been another day,
if you had been happy that day,
you would have been like, all right, you know, yeah, and just continued. But it, like, it was just like a series and it just hit you on the wrong day and then, mm-hmm, you made that mistake. And so it was shortly after that then you got cut out.
I mean, it was just like, very obvious that, I mean, just one thing after another. I mean, my email to Gary, people coming on, like Jimmy Kimmel talking about me, that was like, I was really mad. And then I wrote a song about him that was nobody liked.
Now, do you think they also didn't like that you had a podcast?
Because... Yeah. No, well, they were playing my podcast on the Stern Show. So I was trying to create content for them. And yeah, I was so excited that that was happening. And that's another like manifesting thing. It was just so unbelievable. And the fact that they were playing it and they were laughing at it. I'm listening to Robin and Howard and even Fred like laugh at something that I'm
making money off the podcast.
Yeah,
then?
I was, because it was on this platform. Yes. I had at one point like, you know, 30,000 live people.
Yeah.
You know, because of that. And right, I didn't even care about that. I just loved doing it so much. Right. Like, I love stuff like this. Yeah. Obviously. I mean, I love it. So I enjoy it. It's the type of job that I would do even if they like weren't paying me. I would just like work at like the grocery store part time, you, yeah, know, or like, you know, I would, yeah, I love that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, I knew it was going downhill, but I was just so thrilled to be a part of it. I'm not like angry at all.
Yeah.
It takes a while to get to that place where you're not angry, I think.
Right, yeah.
Because I was angry. I was bitter. I did feel those feelings. I was depressed. But now I'm depressed about like new things. So
okay, so it ends. Yeah. Your last day is when?
Just when I got kicked out of the system.
So I know, yeah, but like, yeah, what day?
Okay. So it was, I think it was like 2015, like December, because I remember like taking a real long, cold walk after that. And Benji, which was my ex, he also worked there.
Yeah.
Benji Bronk. He was so nice about it. He was like, oh my gosh, he was just so nice.
And you guys weren't together at that time.
No, but we're really good friends.
That's nice.
He has been unbelievable for me. Like, I love working with someone that I'm with.
So you've never talked to Howard since? Never seen him at a restaurant?
I would never try. I would never try because—
But what if you saw him at a restaurant? Would you go say hi?
If I was drunk, probably. Like,
yeah,
if I was like buzzed and in a good mood, but if I'm just like straight and just, yeah, I just, it's tough. That is really tough. I would like to think that I would say, you know, thank you, because he gave me such an unbelievable fun time. It's,
yeah,
like, you know, when you're on your deathbed, what are you going to be thinking about? You know, I'll be thinking about, you know, when I was up there laughing with those guys,
right, yeah,
and creating, and the best feeling. I mean, I've created so many things that nobody hears or sees. And then,
yeah,
you create something and the whole world sees it pretty,
yeah,
much. And it's just the best. It's the greatest. And he gave me that. And that's a gift that is – I look at things like in a way where maybe he doesn't even exist. Maybe,
yeah,
he's just the catalyst for, like, me getting to achieve a dream.
So then you go from Howard and you, yeah, fall in love with Andy Dick. How the hell did that happen?
That wasn't right after.
Well, how did that – let's get to that. How did that happen?
So Andy actually went on a date with my friend Brandon, my neighbor.
Yeah.
And it went really bad. And Brandon was texting me, 911, 911. Come pick me up. Come get me. I'm like, how bad can this be? Like, it's the Andy Dick guy. He's a funny guy. I didn't really know. I mean, I knew who he was. He's famous, but I didn't.
Wait. Brandon was on the date with Andy Dick?
Yeah.
This Brandon was on the date with Andy Dick.
Yeah. Isn't he cute?
So Brandon's on the date with Andy Dick and goes, pick me up. This is a horrible date. So then you go.
Yeah, I went.
And then what happened?
So I go on the date, and Andy's, like, real messed up at this point. He invited other guys to the date, multiple guys. He left Brandon with the bill, large bill at Rocco's,
yeah,
in West Hollywood. And even though Andy
and
was
at the Abbey.
Oh, and at the Abbey. So two large bills he left my poor Brandon with. And so I went, and I didn't know how I was going to be helpful in the situation, but I did notice something about Andy that night that I liked, okay? Even after all he did, I said, this guy is hurting so bad. He has such emotional pain. And I've dated all the cool guys in the world that are like, you know, no emotions. They just want to have fun. They like have nothing inside. And I saw this guy, Andy, and I liked him. I thought he was gay, obviously.
Right.
But I loved him. Like, I was like, this is a soul that I'm looking at.
Okay.
Because not many people in LA or in general do you meet that you're like, okay, I'm meeting a soul right now, a good soul that wants to be loved.
Okay.
Immensely. So that's what I saw when I saw Andy. But I didn't think, like, I'd marry him.
But when did you start to get romantic with him?
Okay. So that ended, and I thought I'd never see him again. He was booked on my podcast as a guest. He came on as a guest. And then I thought—
So you booked him?
A friend of mine. A friend of mine was booking guests for my podcast.
And you were like, oh, have Andy Dick on.
No, it wasn't even my idea. It was my friend's idea.
And then you're like, oh, I met you a couple days ago.
No, he never remembers who he meets. Like, okay. I asked him about you. He doesn't remember. Like, he doesn't remember
anyone. I never met him.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you might know him. Okay. No. Yeah, no, he doesn't remember anyone.
Okay.
So you could meet him 20 times. He doesn't remember anyone.
Yeah.
So he didn't remember me. And he was on my show. He's like, oh, nice to meet you.
Okay, yeah.
And he was very just sweet, just like a sweetheart. And then I thought that'd be like definitely the last time I talked
right.
to him. And then he called me after the show and he says, I want to do this every week. And I'm like, why? why do you want to do this every week? He goes, I just like it. You know, I like the interaction because people were calling in and complimenting him. And he wants to be loved, this guy. This is a guy who he's adopted. I don't know if you knew that. And he just felt like very rejected most of his life.
Right.
And he just went through a lot of painful things, I think, with this.
Well, he had a crazy experience. I know that, he's a father, but then he had, like, two girlfriends living with him. Then he said, I'm also gay.
Well,
like, he had, like, a polyamorous situation happening years ago while they were raising the child.
Yeah, so.
I remember all those crazy
that's
stories.
That's true. I think he has something similar to me, which is why I connect with him. I think he's very depressed. Like, he has depression, like a chemical imbalance or something.
Uh-huh.
And he's just a really depressed guy that just wants to be loved so badly. And I think that's why he wanted to do this every week with me. He says, I want to be your co-host. I want to be part of your show. I want to just be around you. I love it. I felt so good on there. And I said, wow, that'd be great.
Okay.
And then he just, one morning, I thought we were just friends. And then one morning at like 6 a.m., he said, I think we should be married.
And you've never even kissed him?
Never kissed him.
And then what did you say to that?
I thought about it. And I was like, okay, no one's ever asked me to marry. I mean, I was with Benji for 8 years or 6 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And he never asked me to marry. He did not want to marry me. And no one ever asked me to marry them before.
Yeah.
And he asked me, and I just thought about it. I said, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Like, he's funny. I find him adorable.
And you were fine to marry a gay man.
I do not
need
sex.
You know what's weird?
Yeah.
It's like, I used to think growing up, like, that would be so hard to find out that the man you were married to was actually gay.
Oh, really?
But now, I think it's wonderful.
It's good news.
It's great news.
Yeah.
Like, then,
no more work.
Because if I just found out that Peter, my husband, is gay after all these years, I would be like, well, boy, that explains everything.
What do you mean?
Just like anytime he was mad at me, I was like, because I wasn't a man. You know, like anytime like you were out of a fight, it would never have been my fault.
Yeah.
Nothing in the marriage would be your fault if your husband is gay. And then you're
blame
like,
it all on that.
Then you're like, what do I love more than a gay guy? Like, but then let's go full, like, let's go gay. It would be a bummer if your gay husband was like a straight gay.
Wait, what's that?
You know what I mean? Like if Peter really was gay, that would be like a bummer because I'm like, I don't even get like the fun, like decorating, the fun.
Oh, yeah.
Having great style. Like, I don't even get that. So then.
Yeah.
But I still am like now, like this age, I'd be like completely down with it because I met this guy. He was an esthetician, and he married this former NFL player, who was pretended to be straight or whatever his whole life, and so now the ex-wife, she gets all the free Botox she wants. She's best friends.
That's perfect.
With the new husband, and they all get along. And I was like, if his new boyfriend was a facialist or a Botox person, I'd be like, no problem. Like,
anything, please. I mean, most guys, you get nothing.
So you're like, I don't care that he's gay. You didn't think I never want.
The last guy I dated before Andy was hot. Hot as hell. The hottest guy ever. Okay. Spanish guy. Ferraris. Multiple Ferraris. Successful. Cool. But, like, it was just, like, nothing. Like, no, like, it's just so dumb. Like, I, Hollywood type guy, clubs. Like,
were you boning him?
Yeah, I was boning him. But, like, well, I didn't, like, get anything out of it. It was just, like, stupid. It was no point of it.
Okay,
like,
so now you go, I got all my
morning after pills left and right. Just, like, horrible.
So yeah. Why don't you just get on the pill?
I was. I didn't trust it. I didn't want to have a baby with this guy so bad. I took the morning after pill.
Just an extra precaution.
And little Russian Faye and the condom. I was triple protected. I still didn't trust it.
Okay, so then you're like, well, at least this 55-year-old gay man's not going to get me pregnant.
That's right.
Okay, so you say yes.
I say yes.
At 6 a.m.
At 6 a.m.
Does he give you a ring?
No ring. He doesn't really, like, have, like, the capability to get a ring.
So does he have any money left?
So he is very bad with money.
Okay.
Very bad. He has people around him that are dangerous people. Okay. They're drug dealers, they're criminals. There's not one good person in there. And I hate to say that, but that's just really what's going on. And that's why it's just been so tough with him. What I imagined us to be is, like, not what it is.
Or did you just want a podcast host?
I mean, it is good to have a podcast host. I mean, everything that he had at the time was good. He was making me laugh.
You're just tired of booking people?
I don't like booking people. I don't even book people. I don't do it. It's so nice. By the way, Peter... That's something I was impressed with, that Peter was answering the emails for this podcast. Yeah. I got so – that's my dream. Please.
Please.
Can somebody please
don't say it. It's not a dream. It's awful working with your spouse.
What do you
I
mean?
Don't
you guys
recommend it to anybody.
What's wrong with it? I love it. I love that you guys do it together. I love it.
It's so not – sometimes it's cute. Sometimes it's not.
It was cute for me getting that email. I was like, oh, my God, Peter. I wonder if it's the same Peter. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, oh, maybe there's another Peter. But, like, just the fact that your husband is such a supporter of you, and that's what I've really been looking for myself, and that's what I thought I found in Andy. But
okay, so you're like, let's do this podcast together, and let's get married. And are we even – and have you not even French kissed?
So I was trying to kiss him. I was I had it all planned out. This is so, like, sad, actually, like, the way I did – I was – planning on seducing him.
Okay.
Because we were hanging out all the time. We were going to dinner. We were.
And it didn't occur to you that, like, maybe he was done with vagina, being that he was at the Abbey with a bunch of guys, that he tried to date your friend who was a man. You didn't think, you thought you're like, I can turn him back to being straight because I'm that fucking great in the sack.
No, I'm not great in the sack. I'm not even really that sexual of a person. Someone has to drive it out of me. So I'm not somebody that's, like, in my apartment, like, horny, like, saying, oh, I got to go out and get banged. I'm not like that. I, like, if I meet the right guy, like, that Ferrari guy was really hot. Like, he could inspire me to do it. But typically when I'm just, like, if I go out somewhere, I'm not, like, looking to bang. Are you horny or, like, horny?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Oh, my God. If I was like that, my life would be so much easier. You are? Your whole life you were like that?
No, just once in a while. Mostly in my dreams. I'm
with
way
the ghost.
More horny in my dreams. Yeah, I'm way more horny
in a haunted
dreams.
House. That would really.
Also on a long plane ride home.
Really?
Yes.
Because you can't do it. That's why.
I'm always like, oh, I'm going to come home.
Really?
And I'm going to, like, get romantic with Peter. And then I get home. And after, like, an hour and a half on the 405, I'm like, I'm just tired. And it's over with.
Do you watch porn?
No, but I like scripted TV shows that are, like, sexy. I don't like real porn.
Oh, like that Sex Life show?
And I do like two guys in suits making out with each other.
Gay guys?
Well, like, they're hidden gay guys. Like, I like a storyline where two guys are, like, running, you know, they're mad at each other. Like, they're like, I got the deal. Like, no, hey, listen, get the fuck out of my office. And then they just, like, get real close. And then they start to make out.
Oh, would you like to be in a threesome with Peter and another guy?
Absolutely not.
Or
no.
Any kind of threesome?
If it involves, I like office sex.
Me too. That's why I miss working in an office.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
like,
the one
like
reason.
A pencil skirt. You lifted up a pencil skirt.
Yeah. I feel sexier in an office than pretty much anywhere else.
Yes.
Like not, and I don't feel sexy at home or anywhere, but.
Okay, so what happens? You plan on seducing him and what happens?
Okay, so he was in my bed. This is really horrible. So he was in my bed and I was checking him out. He was sleeping and he was just so like skinny and like frail kind of. And he just looked ill, but I still was going to do it. Like, so I went to my bathroom to change into this lingerie that I had left over from the other guy.
Yeah.
And I put on and I was like, I look pretty good. I was thinking that because I hadn't been in that frame of mind for a while. So I put on this lingerie. And then I heard him, as I was putting on the lingerie, I heard him calling his boyfriend, Lucas.
Okay.
And he was like, "Where are you, Lucas?" And like,
did Lucas know that you guys are now engaged?
Yeah, he did. And like,
now how long have you been engaged for?
I don't know.
Like a day?
It was, at that point, it was like a month or two.
Okay. And you've told your family?
Well, I was already in the news because I took him to Sir for our engagement dinner. And we had a picture there, and then it was in like all the newspapers and everything. My mom was just, I mean, if she wasn't upset about Howard TV, she was really upset about this.
Do you think this whole thing was your thirstiest moment? Because I do.
Listen, I am thirsty. I was just telling Brandon about that, but
this is the worst thirsty, really? Like, move I think I've ever heard.
Really?
Trying to marry.
He asked me.
Going forward with it.
I would still do it.
It's a drug addict gay guy that doesn't have any money.
I don't mind
money.
The gay part. I don't. Okay, so I don't mind the money part because I know we can make money together.
On the podcast.
No. So he loves deep dish pizza.
Yeah.
He loves deep dish pizza, like, and we can't find any that he likes.
Okay.
In L.A. And he loves.
So you're going to start a pizza place?
I was thinking about starting a pizza place.
Because he seems like he'd totally be reliable to, like.
Well, I would run the whole thing.
Yeah.
I would run the whole thing.
And what's
I have
he going to do?
Partners.
The deliveries in West Hollywood?
Yeah, I mean, he.
And then you're like, get that guy's dick out of your mouth. You've got three more pies to deliver.
You know, I didn't think I'd mind the dicks in his mouth, but I do, actually. I didn't think I'd mind it because I was used to dating these guys that would check out other women all the time.
Okay.
Those were the typical guys that I would date.
So you're like, I can date a guy who's checking out guys all the time.
I thought I wouldn't mind it as much.
Okay.
I really thought. Because I haven't heard of it too much, people marrying gay, right?
Yeah.
But then when I started to think about it, I'm like, I could put this guy around anyone. I mean, he could hang out with, like, Megan Fox, Kim Kardashian, like, the hottest people.
And I'm sure they're dying to hang out with him.
No, I'm just saying. Or, like, a regular hot girl. No. Or a regular hot girl.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't do anything. As opposed to any guy that I've dated before that has hit on people, hit on waitresses, hit on just everyone. And I just was really tired of that. I was with, Benji for like a really long time. And, he wanted to have like threesomes and like all crazy shit. So I was just like done with it. And so when Andy asked me to marry him, I was happy about it because it seemed more safe than with a straight guy for me.
All right.
And also I liked him. I thought he was really emotional and vulnerable, which is my favorite quality in a person, and which I found very rare in a straight guy.
Do you think he's vulnerable because he's high all the time and frail and sick? I mean, there's vulnerable because you just don't have your shit together, and then there's vulnerable where it's like, let me share my most inner thoughts with you.
Yeah. So we're on the outs right now, so it's tough to say, but I liked that he would be crying to me about how much he wanted his life to get better and how he was so sad about just everything and just so authentic with me, more than I've ever had anyone. In my family, no one's like that. No one says what's wrong or they.
Did he make you laugh?
Yes.
So he was funny.
Yes.
So then how did it end?
So
you go to Sir.
Yeah, we go to Sir.
Are you still trying to get on the show?
No.
Was it hard to get a table? Did you say, remember me? I talked about Us Weekly to you guys when I was about to.
No, you know what? It was pretty empty that day.
Yeah, go on.
After that, I was hanging out with him pretty much every day.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going well, and I wanted him to move in with me. Because I thought if he moved in with me, that we could just be, like, normal.
Yeah.
Because I was doing, financial consulting for this firm, and I just dreamed that I would be there. And he would be there, too, doing something, anything. And we would be working together.
You think you're going to get Andy Dick a job at the financial firm?
He would have to be entry-level position to start, but he could move up. That was my dream. Working together with him. Making everything good with him. Making him not want to party anymore. He's 55.
And you don't think him working at a financial place would not drive someone to want to drink or do drugs? Or suck a dick.
There are a lot of hot guys. It's like the hottest guys.
So this is where, maybe this is where the office sex you wanted to have finally have office sex with Andy Dick.
Yeah, I mean,
news
I would have loved
radio.
That.
It's like straight up news radio.
Yeah,
days.
I mean, I made out with him once. Yeah. I was at a concert. I was watching this like rap battle, and he FaceTimed me when I was there.
So this is pre-COVID?
No, this is after.
Okay.
This is after. I was at a rap battle of a friend of ours, and Andy FaceTimed me, and he goes, "You look like you're in a really tough area of town." And I go, "I am." He goes, "Well, I have to come there." And that was like so sexy to me. Okay. That was the first time I was really attracted to him. Like, wow, he cares, like, if I get shot here.
Yeah. So your fiancé shows up.
Yeah, so he shows up. And I don't know how, because he's banned from Uber
and banned
from
Lyft. And you still don't have a ring or anything.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, wow, he managed to get here. East Hollywood.
I don't know why you have such high standards for yourself.
Why? You don't think that's romantic? You don't think that's romantic? Oh, is it low standard?
I'm saying, like, my God.
Oh,
like,
is that bad?
I like, right. Talk about asking for crumbs and getting less.
Do you know a guy for me?
One that's, okay. I mean, does it just need to be alive at this point?
Would they come and rescue me from East Hollywood? Rescue me and come and show up and be like.
He rescued you how?
He came in.
An Uber?
I don't know how he got there. I really don't.
Okay.
Yeah, he can't use Uber.
Because he's what? Behaved so badly he got banned?
Yeah, he got banned. So
what about Lyft?
Banned. Yeah. Okay, so.
Oh, and Uber Eats.
And Uber Eats, yeah. No, you can't order. He can't order any food.
Why? Because he tried to like attack the person or suck their dick
Google
or something?
It.
Okay.
So anyway, he shows up. He looks at me. I was so attracted to him in that moment. It was the first time I was like really hot for him.
Yeah.
Right? So he comes in. And it's this, like, rap club. And this is my favorite, like, make-out situation is a club because it reminds me of, like, my 20s, you know?
Yeah.
And so he comes in, and it's, like, loud, and there's people rapping, and he looks really good. Like, I like his face. I like his face. So comes in, I'm, like, turned on, actually, like, because it was situational. That's when I get turned on, when it's situational. So he comes in, and I was so happy. And we made out in the corner.
All right.
And we met on the corner. I'm like, this is going to be it. This is going to be the night. This is when we're doing it. We're going to have sex tonight. And I was so excited. Yeah. And then he just left.
How did he get home?
With a bunch of guys.
All right. So then the next
It's over, Heather. It's over, okay? It's over. Don't worry.
So
single, okay?
Back. So wait. Then how did it officially end? That was the end? No.
Then was when he went to jail. I wasn't his call. He didn't call me.
He called Lucas?
I'm sure. He did not call me. And then after he got.
Do you like Lucas? Did you hang out with Lucas?
I didn't like him.
Did Lucas hate you because you were his fiance?
All his friends hate me.
Okay.
Yeah. They all hate me. So I'm trying to take him away from them, which is true. They're right.
Okay.
They're right. I was trying to take him. I was trying to like build this like life, this like made up, make believe life that I saw that
with your fiance and all his and all his gay boyfriends?
Well, without them. I was trying to take him away from them.
Okay.
And just take him away from the partying lifestyle. I thought, like, one day we went to the beach and it was a really romantic, fun day. I said, okay, Andy's going to love this day. He's going to have so much fun. We went to Casa Del Mar and all the good places and just had a normal day, like a normal couple. And then he just went right back to going to a party that night. And that's the night he went to jail, actually. So it just it didn't work what I wanted. It didn't work, but I put in so much effort and I tried. And this is a guy that I could talk to for hours, but. Yeah, just didn't work out.
What did you think of this? We've got the Brandon here. Like, what were you thinking? Wow. And then you said he blocked you and everything?
He blocked me from Instagram, but he just added Brandon today on Instagram. And there's no way he would have found him if he didn't go through my profile. So he's obviously either after him or me.
Did he ever say any mean words to you? Like, leave me the fuck alone or anything?
I mean, he would call me a bitch.
Why are you with a gay guy? What's wrong with you?
No, but he's not gay. He's everything. He likes everything. He likes everybody. Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously he's not monogamous and doesn't want to be monogamous. So unless you're willing to be, like, polyamorous or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm fine with him having other relationships and you're just the only female.
I thought I'd be fine with it, but it didn't work out.
Well, I think you're really funny.
Thank you.
I'm glad we met. I thoroughly enjoyed this interview.
Good.
Tell people where they can find you for financial services, keytarring, podcasting, and if you're a gay guy that wants to explore heterosexuality, you're open to it.
It'd be good to have a straight guy right now.
Okay.
This was a break. So yeah, if you're straight, should I look at you when I'm saying this?
Yeah, go ahead. If you're straight, yeah.
So if you're a straight guy,
yeah,
and you're really nice, and you like dogs, you have to like dogs. That's very important.
Well, most everyone likes dogs.
No, my last guy did not like dogs. And
the Ferrari
actually,
guy?
Yeah, he hated dogs. And actually, my dog actually hated Andy. He bit him really bad. So yeah, if dogs like you, if you like dogs, I'd be very interested in dating you. You can just follow me at Alisa Jordana.
Okay.
And
maybe you can get on Vanderpump Dogs.
Yeah, yeah. Show that's where I got my dog Fozzie.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, opening night. I think you were there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got Fozzie opening night of Vanderpump Dogs. And he was, I think, the first dog adopted there. And he's been
amazing. Do you think anybody there remembered you?
Like right now?
No, when you went to go to the Vanderpump Dogs thing, do you think they were like, that's that crazy bitch that we were going to put on the show until she talked to Us Weekly?
No, that was before. That was when I was still with all those girls.
Oh.
Yeah, so they brought me there that night. They invited me to everything.
What girls were you friends with?
Sheena was amazing to me. She invited me to every party, every single day for like 2 months.
And then she just stopped talking to you too?
No. I mean, so when you're in that situation,
yeah,
you have to make something happen, right? So say we're at a party right now.
Yeah.
You have to start fighting with me or it's not going to be a scene.
Right.
And it's really hard to come up with something when the person's perfectly nice.
Yeah.
You know, like Sheena's perfectly nice. Lala was perfectly nice. Ariana was perfectly nice. They're all nice. But I, like, when I'm sitting there with them, it's very hard. Like, what are you supposed to do? Oh, like, you fucking bitch. Like, you know?
Right.
It's just hard to do. So I couldn't do it. It's hard. It's hard to do.
Right.
Yeah. But they ended up casting Billy Lee instead of me for her story. She had a way more interesting story, which was...
Right. She was trans.
Yeah,
she was
a trans
girl.
Yeah, she was trans. And so she ended up... Me and her came in at the same time. And, you know, she's a good person, I think.
Then she must have gotten the tip because she started too many fights.
No, but you know you have to do that. You have to do it or you will get cut out. Or you've not even been in at all.
Right.
Yeah, so, but they're perfectly nice and they invited me to everything. I got to go to all the events and I still like World Dog Day. Still enjoy that.
Yeah, I've been to that too.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Okay, so tell them where they can follow you.
Okay, so everybody can follow me at Alisa Jordana on Twitter and Instagram. And you can just Google Kerman and Friends. That's my podcast.
Okay. Awesome. Really fun talking to
you.
And I don't know what advice to give to you.
Any. I'll take any. You know any guys, really?
Thanks.
You must know some guys in the Valley. I think the guys in the Valley are better, probably. No?
I don't know. I'm not looking for any.
No. I'm wondering, maybe Peter knows someone.
Oh, God.
No? See, I'm telling you, it's hard.
We set up one friend years ago with that golf guy, and then we said never again.
Really?
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, you guys. As I said, for the juiciest scoop, you go to heathermcdonald.net, click on Patreon, and join. There'll be a real good one Friday. There's going to be a real good one later on in the week for my higher tiers. And, of course, for all of my dates that really are selling really well, I hope to be sold out of every show soon, go to heathermcdonald.net. This for all the cities that I'm coming to, Nashville, Atlanta, New York, Boston, and Chicago are left. So I will see you soon.